الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أدلكم على ما ينجيكم من عدوكم ويدر لكم أرزاقكم تدعون الله في ليلكم ونهاركم فإن الدعاء سلاح المؤمن أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Most respected ulama ikram, elders and dear friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us and has made us mu'mineen, believers in a kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us with being from the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us, each and every one of us, with countless ni'mats, bounties, and grace from His side. Respected brothers and friends, that a person needs to remember that in this life, in this dunya, there are different charities, there are different threats, if you may use the word, that a person may be faced with challenges in the forms of finance, in the forms of problems with his family, with his children, etc. And no matter who the person may be, no matter what his financial standing may be, no matter what his social standing may be, as long as he is a person that is living in this dunya, in this riyam, in this world, he will definitely have challenges, he will definitely have different situations that he will have to face up to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also created this insan such that insan has emotions, insan has feelings, and when certain things happen, certain difficulties befall him, certain situations arise that may be overwhelming for him, may be difficult for him, then naturally a person becomes saddened or he becomes grieved. However, as we said in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with countless ni'mats and countless bounties. So even in a situation where a person is in difficulty, where a person is beset with some trouble, some problem, some calamity, even then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ni'mats and bounties are still pouring upon the person. You may ask how? The answer is this, that despite the difficulty, despite the challenge, despite the problem that a person may be experiencing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a way out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability of turning to Him in dua, in communicating with Him, and in talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pouring out our hearts to Him, and asking Him for assistance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the ayat, in the hadith sharif that I recited in the khutbah, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى مَا يُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَدُوِّكُمْ وَيُدِرُّ لَكُمْ أَرْزَاقَكُمْ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks us that, should I not show you something that will save you from your enemies and that will increase your sustenance? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تَدْعُونَ اللَّهَ فِي لَيْلِكُمْ وَنَهَارِكُمْ فَإِنَّ الدُّعَى سِلَاحُ الْمُؤْمِنِ That, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua day and night, for indeed dua is the weapon of a believer. Respected brothers, says a person repels his enemy with a weapon, he chases off and wards off his enemy with a weapon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this weapon of dua, that when any calamity befalls us, when any situation makes life seem as though it is constrained, like we have no escape, like we have nowhere to turn to and nowhere to go to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us with this great ni'mat of dua, of begging from Him, of turning to Him and asking from Him. The power of dua is such that at times something may be decreed to befall a person. It may be written, taqdeer, that a certain thing will happen to him, has to happen to him. However, we understand from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that such is the power of dua, that if a person engages in dua and begs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His fadl, through His grace and His mercy, through the medium of dua and communicating with him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can remove that obstacle or that problem or that challenge that was destined to occur to this person. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can lessen it and make it less than what it was supposed to be. We understand that Rasulullah s.a.w. tells us that إِنَّ الدُّعَاءَ يَنْفَعُ مِمَّا نَزَلَ وَمِمَّا لَمْ يَنْزِلْ فَعَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ بِالدُّعَاءَ. That, oh believers, Rasulullah s.a.w. tells us that indeed dua benefits against what has already befallen a person, to befall a person, and not occurred yet, still to befall a person. So hold fast, O the servants of Allah, unto dua. This is the power of dua. This is the power of the medium of communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us with this, that instead of us, as we said, we are humans. We are affected by situations around us. We have emotions. We have feelings. And sometimes these feelings and these emotions, they get the better of us. Still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this unique way out, that we should never ever feel that there is no place to turn to. We should never feel that we will become completely consumed and overcome by this adversity, this difficulty, this problem. No. We should rather seize this moment as the opportune time to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should do this by raising up our hands like a beggar. Like when a beggar comes to ask from you, when he stops you at the side of the road, or when he comes to your door, he just doesn't ask you in a casual way, can I have something, and whether you give him or not, he turns around, no. He's there, he persists, he asks over and over again. When we present our plea before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should present our plea before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with total humility, total humility, totally expressing our helplessness, that we have no other door to go to, we have no other place to turn to. Ya Allah, we only have you. And we should present our plea before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the urgency of such a person who has nowhere else to go to. And that is the fact of the matter, we have nowhere else to go to. Total control of everything in this dunya and in the akhirah lies in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every decision in this dunya, in the akhirah, is in the total control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have nobody else to turn to. So whenever we fall into any problem, we should not become overcome. We should not become overwhelmed. Yes, our emotions will prick at us, will make us feel sad and grieved. But we should remember, we should conscientize ourselves in the back of our minds, there is a way out. I have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so kind to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a few tools, mediums, by which we can ask from him, beseech him, turn to him, and come out of our problems. It's not so that a person, a mu'min, a believer, has no recourse. No, a mu'min has a recourse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him a way from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whichever situation he may be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with the ability of performing wudu, making two rakat salah, and turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is great effect and great power in this, performing salatul hajat, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of salah, communicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through salah, and then lifting up our hands and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this should be our point of call number one. Unfortunately, because of this materialistic dunya that we live in, our automatic reaction to any problem is to first look at the means. Because we are living in a world of cause, means, cause and effect, we look for the cause and we want the effect to come from the cause. So we turn towards the means first and we forget that there is a controller of all means. A person, when he's beset with some problem, he may end up making 10, 15 phone calls. He may be going from one person to the other. He may stand for hours in a queue. He may try this, he may try that. Then after all else fails, then he realizes, hey, I can make dua also. I can make dua also. It's not about making dua also. Our mind must be conscientized that our first point of call is dua. Before we turn to the means, all means are in the control of Allah subhanahu alayhi salatu wasalam, was thrown into the fire. Fire has the property of burning. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whose control is the condition of everything, made that fire not burn, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So conditions are in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Changing conditions is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should conscientize ourselves that yes, there are means. The means will take effect if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. So our first point is that we should turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what the problem may be. May seem small and trivial, may seem like a large problem. We should firstly make it our habit that we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance, and then obviously turn towards the means. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the effect in the means for whatever our difficulty may be, for it to be solved. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can remove our problems without any means also. There's an incident, in fact two incidents, to highlight to us the power of dua and salah. On one occasion, a person, he was in some distress, some financial constraints, some problems. So he went to the governor of the time, thinking that he will go and he will beseech the governor for some help and ask him for some money to come out of his problem. So when he goes there to the governor, when he reaches the governor's residence, what does he find? He finds that the governor, this powerful person, the leader, he is in sajda, he is imploring and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person, he thinks to himself, this powerful governor, I came to ask him for help. He is beseeching that being besides whom there is no other sister, no other person to help. So why don't I put forward my plea and my request to that same being towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It so happened, he mentioned this, he said this, and it so happened that the governor, he heard these words. So when the governor had got up from his sajda, he instructed one of his attendants to call this person. He called him and he asked him what he had said. And this person, he says what he said. So the governor told him, instructed his attendant, that give him 10,000 coins, whatever it may have been, gold coins, silver coins. Give him 10,000 coins. And then he said to this person, that being alone gave this to you, who I was imploring in sajda and to whom you had turned to. Such is the power of salah. Whenever any difficulty befell Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would turn towards salah, would turn towards asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a lesson for us as the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In another incident, we find that there was an assistant to Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, a person who used to work in his orchard, in his garden. And on one occasion, he came to Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu and he said to him that there is drought, there is no water, the garden is drying out, it's going to be difficult for the crops. So Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu asked him to fetch some water. He performs wuzu and he performs 2 rakat salah and he turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua. After a while, he asked the gardener to go see if anything has changed. The gardener goes, and he comes back and he says, no, it's still the same, there's no clouds in the sky, no sign of rain. Again Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu continues performing salah, 2, 3, 4, whatever amount of sets of salah. After a few sets of salah, he calls the gardener again, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the salah. Then he calls the gardener and he asks him, go check again. The gardener goes, he sees, he looks at the sky and he comes back and he says to Anas radiallahu anhu, a small cloud, like the resembling the wing of a bird, small cloud in the sky. As Anas radiallahu anhu persists, continues performing salah and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until after a while, the gardener comes and he says to Anas radiallahu anhu that the sky is full of clouds and it's raining profusely. The orchard is being saturated by the rain. Anas radiallahu anhu tells the gardener that get onto the conveyance, get onto the horse, and go ride and see where the rain has fallen. He goes, he sees where the rain has fallen, and he comes back, and he reports to Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu that the rain had fallen roughly on the orchard area of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had specifically sent the rain for the orchard of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. That same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who answers the du'as of those in the past, the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here now, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain till the day of Qiyamah. It is our duty to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected brothers and elders, another incident for us to understand the power of dua, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beyond all means. Sometimes something seems to be impossible, can never happen. Nothing is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the past, there were incidents. There were times when it was noted, people had given their experiences that by making dua and turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that apparently seemed impossible, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it possible. And even right up to now, you will find, sometimes you're speaking to someone, they will relate to you an incident that we found no way out, we thought there would be no way out, But we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took out a solution for us from where our mind couldn't even reach. Our mind couldn't even think of such a thing. One such incident in the past, there was a woman who her son was kidnapped. He was taken away by the kuffar, by the Romans. And she was very distressed. She was a poor woman. So she had come to the renowned great student, Hazrat Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, Baqi bin Makhlad rahimahullah. She comes to him, she tells him this incident, that my son has been kidnapped, he has been taken away by the Romans, and I am a poor person. I have a small dwelling, I don't have any much money. Is there any way you can help me, any way you can assist me? Maybe somebody can buy this from me, or somebody can help me to pay the ransom and free him. So Hazrat Baqi rahimahullah, he tells her that, okay, you go home, I will try and make some arrangements for you. I will try and see to your problem and try to assist you in your problem. After saying this, the woman goes away. Hazrat Baqi rahimahullah engages in earnest dua and he begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the freedom of this lady's son. He says that not even a few days had passed, just a few days pass and the lady is back. She comes back, but she comes back with her son. She comes back with her son and she tells her son that narrate unto Baqi rahimahullah what had occurred. Baqi rahimahullah was quite happy, obviously, that the son was returned to his mother, and she asked him that what happened to you. So he narrates the incident. He says that I was kidnapped by the Roman army, and we were part of such a group of prisoners who were taken out during the day. The whole day we had to toil in the desert, in the fields, and in the evening would be taken back. So on one occasion, whilst we were there in the fields, we were toiling, the shackles that had fitted my legs, my ankles, what I was bound with, those shackles, they miraculously broke open and they fell open. So the security guard, the soldier who was watching me, he came and he shouted at me, he was abusive to me, why did I open the shackles? I said to him, no, I did no such thing, it just opened up on his own. So they called the blacksmith, he says they called the blacksmith, and he came and he put a new set of shackles on. He mentions that not even few steps I had taken, and this other set of shackles also opened up. They refused to stay on my feet. They refused to bind me. So when they saw this problem is recurring, they called the priest. And then the priest asked this boy, that do you have a mother? The boy said, yes, I have a mother. So the priest told them that it is most likely, that this boy's mother is making dua for him or has made dua for him. So you will not be able to bind him. You will not be able to restrain him. You rather let him go. The boy says, then not only did they let me go, they took me to the boundaries of the Islamic territory and they let me go from there. Respected brothers and elders, such is the power of dua that every person has our own shackles. We all have our own shackles in the form of some financial problem. Sometimes a person is desirous for a partner in marriage. Sometimes a person is married but is having problem with his spouse. Sometimes a person is desirous for a child. Sometimes a person has children but his children are disobedient to him. And the list goes on. Different problems, different shackles, different things in caging us up, tying us up on a micro level, on a macro level, in a person's own individual capacity, in the capacity of the community, in the capacity of the whole ummah, different problems fall on us all the time. Because we are living in this dunya where there are problems which are going to affect us. But as we said in the beginning, there is a way out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, ask from me. Ask from me. We learn from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes a person makes dua and he feels despondent that his dua has not been answered. He doesn't see it materializing before him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that also. A person will make dua as long as he's not making dua for something haram, something sinful, or for the breaking of family ties, or breaking of kinship, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer his dua in one of three ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will either give him that same thing what he's asking for, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save this as a treasure and as a reward for him in the akhirat. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will move away or lessen some other calamity that was supposed to befall him. So the dua of a person will be answered. How it will be answered, in which way it will be answered, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. We should not lose hope. We should continuously ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beseech from him. And also, certain things form an impediment in duas being accepted or stop a person's dua from being accepted. And one major thing that stops du'as from being accepted is the consumption of haram. If a person is consuming haram, his wealth is tainted. What he's eating and feeding his family is tainted. And this stops his du'as from being accepted. The person should be very, very careful of this. that how his rosy is getting it, where he's getting it, what is the nature of his rosy, what is he feeding his family, what food is he feeding his family, he should check, because this forms a barrier from du'as being accepted. The person's du'as are not, don't reach Allah, don't get accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if a person's consumption, his wealth, his food is haram, is doubtful. So we should be very, very careful and cautious of this, so that we are not deprived of this great, great boon and bounty from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين